scratching and give me a beat. Ouch! Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce the hi-hat. Go on. That's good. Now the tambourine. Right now.
My name is Rip Van Wagner from the lovely village of Catskill, and you're listening to WGXC, ACRA, Catskill and More, 90.7 FM.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we have election results for you. Yesterday was the congressional special election and congressional primary elections throughout the Hudson Valley. We'll hear the results in just a second on the local news. Plus, we'll also hear about the Climate Action Council, the state's effort to slow global warming. We'll hear a summary of the August 23rd meeting of the council. Plus, we'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned. Friday, August 26th, turn out or tune in to The Shy Boys, Spy Roden, and G. Lucas Crane and Rick Royer are performing at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill, 8 p.m. to 11 p.m. Shy Boys are similar to Ween, and Spy Roden plays fast and furious rock, and Rick Royer and G. Lucas Crane do the absurdist radio show I Have Seen Niagara that airs Saturday mornings on WGXC. You can turn out to the Avalon Lounge in Catskill Friday, August 26th from 8 to 11 p.m. or tune into a live WGXC web stream at WGXC.org and a broadcast on 90.7 FM. That's Friday, August 26th at the Avalon Lounge in Catskill. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Oak Pizzeria Napolitana in Hudson, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in ACRA with the WGXC local news for Wednesday, August 24th. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Congressional special elections and primary elections were held throughout the Hudson Valley on August 23rd, and results are in. In the New York 19 Congressional District special election, Democrat Pat Ryan won against Republican Mark Molinaro. Ryan received 65,995 votes over Molinaro's 63,137 votes, 95% of the vote in. Ryan will serve the final weeks of Antonio Delgado's term and at the same time run for the new 18th congressional district seat against Republican Assemblyperson Colin Schmidt. Here's Pat Ryan at his victory party.
Three months ago, we got in this race, unexpectedly, certainly unexpectedly, and from the beginning, people counted us out. The early polls had us down 14 points. Don't forget that. A lot of people counted us out. But we got in this race because the foundations of our democracy were and remain under direct threat. And that is deadly serious.
In the New York 18 primary, Democrat Pat Ryan won two elections in one day, this one with 95% of the vote in, with Ryan at 29,400 votes over Aisha Mills at 3,532 votes and Moses R. Mugalusi at 719 votes. Democrat Ryan now faces Republican Schmidt in the general election. In the New York 19 primary, Josh Riley defeated Jamie Chaney. With 95% of the vote reported, Riley had 32,117 votes to Cheney's 18,436 votes. Cheney tweeted in concession, quote, "I fully support Democratic nominee Josh Riley and look forward to helping him beat anti-choice Mark Molinaro and keep the House blue this fall," unquote. Democrat Riley and Republican Molinaro square off in the general election. In New York 20 primary, Democrat Paul Tonko defeated Roslav Rahr with 17,846 votes for the incumbent Tonko and 2,358 for Rahr. Tonko has a rematch from 2020 with Republican Liz Joy, who attended the rally at the U.S. Capitol January 6, 2021, in the general election. And in New York 21 primary, Matthew Castelli, with 18,926 votes, beat Matt Petorti with 4,401 votes. Democrat Castelli runs against Republican incumbent Elise Stefanik in November. Matt Martinez reports in the Berkshire Eagle that contract talks between the Pittsfield Public Schools and the union representing its bus drivers, cafeteria workers, secretaries, paraprofessionals, and custodians have stalled a week before classes resume on September 1st. The Pittsfield School Committee last week tabled discussion of possible agreements between the district and the Pittsfield Federation of School Employees, saying it had not been notified the contracts had been ratified by the rank and file. Unions representing the school's teachers and administrators had their agreements approved already for the coming year. William Cameron, the chair of the Pittsfield School Committee, said the committee placed the contracts on the agenda because members hoped to hear from the unions, quote, at the 11th hour, unquote. The unions and school district chose to enter mediation in April after 8 months of little to no progress in negotiations. Mediators identified key issues to resolve and worked to get them addressed. However, the contracts remain unsigned. Union representatives were not available for comment. While Cameron declined to identify specific issues that arose during mediation, he said that employee compensation has remained a key factor. Multiple attempts to reach the union for comment were unsuccessful. The school committee may now need to call a special meeting to get the agreement settled before students return. Read more about this story in the Berkshire Eagle. The Daily Freeman is reporting that county unemployment rates in the Mid-Hudson Valley and Catskills were higher in July than what they were in June and much lower than the rates of July 2021, the State Department of Labor reported August 23rd. The July 2022 unemployment rate in Greene County was 3.6%, up from 3.3% in June and down from 5.1% a year ago. In Columbia County, the jobless rate was 2.9%, up from 2.6% in June and down from 2.9% in July 2021. Elsewhere in the region, according to the State Labor Office, the jobless rates in July 2022 were 3.4% in Ulster County, up from 3.1% in June, 3.3% in Dutchess County, up from 3.1% in June, 3.5% in Orange County, up from 3.2% in June, 3.2% in Sullivan County, up from 3% in June, and 3.9% in Delaware County, up from 3.5% in June. The highest jobless rates in June was 9.1% in the Bronx. The lowest rate was at 2.6% in Hamilton County. Statewide, the jobless rate was 4.8% in June. Read more about this story in the Daily Freeman, and read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
What's the
situation, Captain.
This is Cheryl Kay, host of Situation Fluxus on WGXC, 90.7 FM, listener-supported radio for open ears in upstate New York. The show is a weekly one-hour program focused on jazz and improvised music, news, radio, conversations, and more that airs on Thursdays at 10 a.m. and Fridays at 4 a.m. To contact us about Situation Fluxus, thejazzdisturbance at gmail.com or info at wgxc.org. Keep tuned in to 90.7 FM, wavefarm.org/listen, tune in, and on the Wavefarm radio app on your smartphone. Our website is wgxc.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, August 24th. Local early morning temperatures range from 60 degrees in Preston Hollow to 66 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 70 degrees. And it's pretty dry. None of that water that fell yesterday seems to have hit any of the sensors down in the soil. So we'll keep an eye on it. Hopefully it's taking its time. Today is going to be hot and dry with a high of 85 at 4 p.m. Overnight, temperatures fall to 61 degrees. With the dew point on its heels, it will be muggy. Tomorrow, hot and dry again with a high of 86 at 4 p.m. 64 degrees overnight takes us into a wet-looking Friday with a chance for afternoon storms and a high of 87. Saturday, it's mostly dry with a high of 85. Pollen levels for today will be medium high. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 1:42 a.m., low tide at 8:25 a.m., high tide again at 2:15 p.m., and low tide once again at 8:19 p.m. Today's tidal strength will be average, and the river temperature will be 79 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:31 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:09 a.m. Looking way up, we see not much going on. Attention is focused on sunspots that could release flares today. Solar wind speed is currently 390 kilometers per second at 5.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 15 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board with good conditions below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 52. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Wave Farm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Bella Jansons of Brooklyn, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration. But most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland. Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
Back in LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
What's the most important issue?
Getting back to the basics of teaching children, not teaching them critical race theory.
And what is critical race theory?
Well, I'm not going to get into the specifics of it because I don't understand it that much, but it's something that I don't, what little bit that I know, I don't care for.
And what have you heard that you don't,
well,
that you
I'm
don't
not,
like?
Well, I'm not going to, you know, I don't, I don't have that much knowledge on it, but okay. It's something that I'm not, that I don't care for.
That's a magic number.
Three.
Yes, it is. It's the magic number.
Three.
Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three, they stubbed me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music, racing three parts. Casually see, but don't do like a soul. Cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punk.
Three.
Parents let go, cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase in Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Do-Si-Do's your daughter. A tri-camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound. Y'all in your Quebec, that the action's not a trick, but show me the function. Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of three, and that's the magic number.
Three.
This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the cost that we dine, and three out of every darn time, the effect is, where the daisy grows in your mind. Showing true position, this here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up your casualty. Maybe you can subtract it, you can call it your lucky partner, maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my one and two, where would there be my three? Mace, Posse, me, and that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunt of the soul. Souls who flaunt style gain praises by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen, cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dumb and a plug. Set aside a legal substance to feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect drug.
Three.
Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of one. Speakers of soul say it's time to shout. Three forms the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this fix and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number. Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. Three times one.
What is it?
One, two, three.
And that's a magic number.
Here is brand new music from Food Man from Japan. His 2021 album Yasuragi Land is out, and this is Food Court from Food Man.
Thank you.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
Democrats are hoping that it will help them in the midterms because you need young people to come out and vote, and they're the ones who are most interested in this topic.
Higher education expert Lynn O'Shaughnessy of thecollegesolution.com on President Joe Biden's expected announcement on student loan cancellation. White House aides have said Biden was weighing a plan that would provide $10,000 of debt relief for borrowers who make below a certain level of income. The administration is also expected to extend the current freeze on loan repayments through the end of the year. A federal magistrate judge has formally rejected the Justice Department's bid to keep the affidavit leading to the FBI raid of Trump's personal residence at Mar-a-Lago completely sealed, noting the unprecedented nature of the search and the intense public and historic interest. President of Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, Noah Bookbinder, says public release of the document could pose security risks.
There's certainly a lot in that affidavit that I think would be very revealing as to what the reason was for this search, but there's also a lot that could cause real problems if it were to be made public.
Voters cast their ballots in high-profile primary races in New York and Florida. Here's Republican Governor Ron DeSantis responding to reporters on Tuesday on whether he wants a total abortion ban in Florida.
So, you know, we look forward and we welcome, you know, future endeavors, but this is, we realize there's still going to be fight on the legal end.
The UN Security Council met Tuesday to discuss the security and safety concerns at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant after a plant employee and his driver were killed in a mortar explosion outside the facility. Here's Gabonese ambassador to the UN, Michael Xavier Biang.
As long as the fighting continues, the situation in Ukraine will surely continue to worsen.
Biden administration officials are considering further steps to avoid a steep drop in infant formula access for low-income Americans as shortages linger in pockets around the country and are likely again to extend federal flexibilities for low-income moms to access formula through the federal WIC nutrition program, with current waivers set to expire on September 30th. Director of Nutrition Policy and Early Childhood Programs at the Food Research and Action Center, Jerry Henshi, says WIC has been a lifeline for families during a time of unprecedented inflation.
Families have a guarantee of the amount of formula. They have a guarantee of the amount of cereal and juice and eggs. They're guaranteed to get that as part of their benefits. And I think that's really important and people are relying on it.
I'm Nadia Ramlagan for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As a listener to ADM, you know that the redistricting of voting districts happens every 10 years after a new census. That redistricting can be done fairly or can be manipulated for partisan gain, called gerrymandering. But mathematicians and computer scientists now have tools to show courts just how gerrymandered the districts actually are. An article in the Washington Post this week has an explainer on how and why gerrymandering gets done, but also shows how scientists are using the Monte Carlo principle to prove to courts that maps have been gerrymandered. An unbiased computer draws thousands of map combinations, then graphs the results. The graphs show where the actual real-world gerrymandered maps rank versus the computer-generated fair map combinations. A Harvard research team designed an algorithm used in Ohio's fight for fair maps. Their tool was used to draw 5,000 maps and showed the Republican map wasn't even close to fair, which was a factor in convincing the judge to throw out the proposal. Moon Duchin of Tufts University notes that generating larger samples of up to 100,000 comparison maps can give an even higher level of certainty. In many states, citizens groups are using lower-tech mapping tools provided by Princeton University, a platform called Dave's Redistricting, and others to draw their own maps to contrast the partisan cheating occurring in their state's legislatures. See the Post article and links to get involved in those groups at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Fido, your leash is too long. You go where you don't belong. You've been digging in the rubble, getting pictures in trouble. Fido, your leash is too long. plight of your leash is too long. I don't know where I went wrong. You scare me out of my wits when you do that shit. So Fido, your leash is too long. I must have all of your love. You just run out of luck. I don't care what you fuck sounds do, but your leash is too long.
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On August 23rd, the New York Climate Action Council held a meeting to start the process of reviewing the more than 35,000 comments submitted about the draft state climate scoping document. The document is due to be finalized by the end of December, 3.5 years after lawmakers adopted the CLCPA. We first hear from Council Co-Chair Doreen Harris, head of NYSERDA, who starts with an overview of the recently passed Federal Inflation Reduction Act.
Certainly the passage of the IRA is not going to just help accelerate a low-carbon transition nationally, but truly foster the growth of a U.S. clean energy sector that ensures the jobs associated with the transition are created in this country. And the significance of this really cannot be understated. It will drive immeasurable benefits to New York specifically as a leader, ready to receive leader, and the nation at large. And you'll hear a bit as to how we are working to measure those benefits as we move forward. Certainly not all the provisions that were included in the Build Back Better bill made their way into the IRA. and there are some provisions that may raise valid questions and concerns, but as a general matter, the legislation promises to be a game changer in sectors and industries that are vital to the pace and the extent of our progress that we are making in delivering on the goals of the Climate Act. And certainly, these opportunities have always been the mission of our state. And as I said, we both feel quite strongly that we're in a position to realize many of the benefits of the IRA. For example, our proactive investment in not just offshore wind, but the industry supporting it, means that the IRA's commitment to this resource will especially reverberate in New York. And across the board, we are doubling down to do everything we can to maximize those benefits for New York. Certainly, the IRA has many corollaries within New York's Climate Act, notably including provisions that will realize benefits for low to moderate income populations, the workforce, U.S. supply chains, and more. But also, it incorporates many tax incentives that are going to directly benefit those deploying clean energy technologies, including heat pumps and energy efficiency measures, electric vehicles, industrial decarbonization, and more, as well as major, as you see on the chart on the right, new commitments to solar, wind, battery storage, hydrogen, and other energy sources that we speak about regularly in these meetings. Probably the biggest individual funding support is for clean electricity, and most prominently through expanded and extended tax credits for solar, wind, and standalone energy storage. And it is not just the tax credits, but the structure of adders that drive preference for things that, again, are central to New York's priorities, like labor, including prevailing wage and apprenticeships, location-based investments, demographic-based community investments, domestic content and supply chain build-out, and more. In the building sector, there are notable new funding programs, both through tax credits and direct rebates, to drive electrification and energy efficiency, and as I had said, with special focus on LMI households for both single and multifamily. So we know these injections of funding will help spur adoption of heat pumps, electric HVAC equipment, weatherization measures, panel upgrades, and more, and certainly align with the programs we have in place and under development to achieve Governor Hochul's goal of 2 million climate-friendly homes by 2030. And in the transportation sector, there are important new changes to the structure of federal incentives for electric vehicle adoption, which will likely take a few years to fully materialize as the supply chains adapt accordingly. But we do see new and extended incentives for new and used EVs, tax credits for EV charging station installations, dedicated EV and battery manufacturing support, and more. And then finally, last but not least, there is a lengthy list of other provisions that should be on our radar, including important new tax incentives for clean hydrogen production, $60 billion to onshore clean energy manufacturing in the U.S., and tens of billions of dollars in areas that are priorities for environmental justice and other disadvantaged communities, along with a $27 billion federal green bank created out of the EPA, and much more.
Sarah Osgood, the executive director of the council, provided a 40-minute interview of the comments to the climate plan. Most of the 35,000 comments came from what she described as nine organized campaigns. Those comments were relegated to a secondary status in her overview.
So starting with feedback on costs, the feedback was varied. Some believed that the benefits outweigh the costs, and so that we should move forward, yet many expressed concerns. Some of the concerns that were expressly mentioned were the cost of the renewable energy transition and the potential disproportionate impacts to low to moderate income individuals, disadvantaged communities, and others that might be on a fixed income. There was also concern about potential increasing electricity costs, where they emphasized, you know, belief that as the demand for electricity increases, that so too will the cost of electricity. Another topic that we heard a lot of comments on, you know, that we're saying that we need to focus around climate and equity, were on just transition. There were calls for needing more stronger language on supporting labor standards, also to specifically require prevailing wage and benefits, project labor agreements, community benefits agreements, looking to the state to leverage its purchasing power and work with companies that support just transition principles. And significantly providing funding and other technical support for workers and communities that would be affected by the transition from fossil fuel use. In buildings, they expressed concern that the chapter failed to align the strategies that prioritize investments in disadvantaged communities, and calling for the council to include climate justice working group recommendations. Those include items such as a utility customer bill of rights, a safety net guarantee of affordable renewable energy to every household, public education on the energy system, and clawback provisions around public subsidies to private landlords as an anti-displacement strategy. Finally, in this same category of placing climate and environmental justice at the center on waste, we heard calls for zero waste strategies to end dependence on plastic. Significant calls for an elimination of incineration in the state and to expand local scale composting. And again, support for the Climate Justice Working Group position in its opposition of some strategies related to expansion of biogas and industrial anaerobic digestion. On agriculture and forestry, there's concern that recommendations are still included that are opposed by the Climate Justice Working Group. And they highlight several specifically about establishing carbon markets and building markets for bioenergy and biofuels. On waste incineration, there were two campaigns that were dedicated to this topic specifically. They expressed disappointment that the plan didn't already call for an end to trash incineration and transition to zero waste statewide. Calls for prioritizing ending waste incineration, including closing the existing municipal solid waste incinerators that are in the state, and making a recommendation in the plan that no new incinerators be permitted, and calling for a transition of New York to a zero waste system that is as protective as possible as of public health, environmental justice, climate, and the environment generally. And next slide, this is the final one campaign, was more related to legislation. Here they were suggesting that we're at a very critical stage and that at the very least we need to stop expansion of fossil fuels. And they urged that the council co-sponsor the Renewable Heat Now package of bills.
This has been Mark Dunley from the Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show on WGXC?
Would you like to do a show?
Here's David S. Ware and Cooper Moore, two legendary New York City free jazz artists, with a shimba from David S. Ware's album The Birth of Being. Thank you.
Just heard Umar Kanate with Heya De Heyo. This is from the Indestructible Beat of Soweto from 1986. Udukatila Shange Namajaha with Soba Bamba. florist up on the mountain in Palinville, Hunter Way, somewhere around there. Some of the florist folks hang out. They have a new album out in 2021 called The Rock, and this song is called Top Down from Florist. We'll be right back. That was Tune Yards covering the Breeders' Cannonball. 4AD, the label 4AD, has put out a compilation of for their anniversary of bands covering 4AD songs. That was a classic 4AD song from the 90s from the Breeders. And now here's another cover. This is a 2021 cover from Chris Forsythe and the Solar Motel Band doing Neil Young's Barstool Blues.